order. Will members please vote to signify their presence? Please stand for the invocation by Chaplain Dan Weiss, Junior Church of the Dead.
Shall we pray? O God, as I bow before you once again this day, I thank you for each person here in this room whom you love so very much. And I thank you for the privilege of praying for this honored group of men and women this week. It's an honor for each of them to be elected by their constituents in their districts and entrusted with the duties and responsibilities that come with their position. I pray that you would help them with this paradox between being the leaders they need to be to lead our state and yet also the servants they need to be to serve the needs of the people of this state. Help them as they make decisions that not only affect the present, but it will also impact the future. Give them wisdom and foresight that will help them discern what is best for our state. Guide them in their sessions and their committees and all their meetings and gatherings for the greater purpose of leading and serving the people of this state. Lord, we often seek your blessing for America, and we certainly want God to bless Alaska. But we also know that blessing comes as a result of doing that which pleases you, that which is right. And that which is right is rooted in loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. When we do as you command, we trust that you will indeed bless America and bless this great state of Alaska we call home. Now we pray also that you will bless and guide in the lives of each senator and staff and their families. Help them especially with the burdens they carry for their loved ones. I pray all this for these people. In the name of the one whom I serve, Jesus, my Creator, Savior, and Lord. Amen.
Amen. Chaplain Weiss, thank you for your church for serving us this week. Senator Bachicki, would you please lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the Secretary please... Excuse me, Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning. I move and ask unanimous consent that that thoughtful prayer be spread upon the journal.
Without objection, so ordered. Will the Secretary please certify the journal?
I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 30th and 31st legislative days and Senate and House Joint Journal Supplement Number 2.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal and supplemental journal be approved and certified by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, so ordered. Moving to introduction of guests. Senator McGuire.
Thank you so much. Well, Mr. President, it's my honor today behind me here in the Grove Gallery to introduce two constituents of mine and their son, who's actually someone from Juneau. So I'll be poaching from the member from Juneau with apologies and pride. If they could all stand when I call their name. First, Mr. Larry Brown. He is with Safety with ConocoPhillips and lives in the Huffman area. And his partner, Cheryl Fox. And then their son, and their son, Craig Brown, who's here in Juneau, and he's with Alaska Powder Descent. So he is one of those heli guides that takes people racing down the mountains. So if you're looking for a good heli guide, there he is. Please help me welcome them to Juneau today.
Are there other guests for introduction? Seeing none. Messages from the governor?
I have no messages from the governor this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House?
Message dated February 13th stating the House has passed and is transmitting for consideration. CS for House Bill Number 67, MLV, by the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs, an act establishing March 29 of each year as Vietnam Veterans Day and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs.
Those are all the messages from the House today, Mr. President.
Communications.
Report from the Commissioner of the Department of Administration, dated February 11, was received updating the monetary terms for the collective bargaining agreement reached with the Alaska Correctional Officers Association from Becky Holtberg, Commissioner, in accordance with AS 2340215.
Refer to Finance.
The following report is on file. The Alaska Film Office 2013 report to the legislature from Crystal Koneman, Special Assistant, Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, in accordance with AS 4433231B. Those are all the communications this morning, Mr. President.
Reports of standing committees.
The Resources Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 8, Mining Processing of Rare Earth Elements, and recommended it be replaced with a Resources Committee substitute. New zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senator Giesel, Chair, Senators French, Machicki, Bishop, McGuire, Faircloth, Dyson. The resolution has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. Those are all the standing committee reports this morning, Mr. President.
Yeah, brief. Senator Egan.
Back on the calendar to the introduction of guests.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. President.
It's my honor to introduce T.J. Tucker. T.J. is 11 years old. He goes to Glacier Valley Elementary School. He's in fifth grade, and he's our guest page for today. He enjoys hockey, soccer, even snow machining with his siblings. When TJ grows up, he wants to join the military. You'll be proud of that, Mr. President. Thank you, and TJ, welcome.
Yeah, I'd just like to say thanks to TJ. Let me get my picture made with him today, so I'm proud of that. Report of special committees?
I have no special committee reports this morning.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
There are no Senate resolutions for introduction.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 41 by Senator Dyson, an act relating to student participation in interscholastic activities and providing for an effective date.
Education.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 49 by Senators Coghill, Olson, Kelly, Dyson, Machicki, Dunleavy, Giesel. An act defining medically necessary abortion for purposes of making payments under the state Medicaid program.
Judiciary and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 55 by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to actions by insurers based on credit history or insurance score.
Labor and Commerce.
Senate Bill Number 56 by Senator Dyson, an act relating to certain crimes involving controlled substances and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 57 by Senator Stevens, an act relating to parental involvement in education, adjusting pupil transportation funding, amending the time required for employers to give tenured teachers notification of their non-retention, and providing for an effective date.
Education and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 58 by Senator Egan, an act allowing an insurer to cancel an insurance policy if property becomes entirely abandoned and the abandonment increases the hazard insured against.
Labor and Commerce.
Those are all the bills for introduction this morning, Mr. President.
Consideration of the daily calendar.
Citations. Honoring Sergeant Paul Hatch. In memoriam, Catherine Duval Madsen. In memoriam, Arthur Stephen Kalkowski. In memoriam, Helen Hall.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be adopted.
Without objection, so ordered.
We have three special order citations on.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the special order of business on citations be taken up at this time.
Without objection, so ordered.
And Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the special order business citations be adopted.
Without objection, so ordered. Under unfinished business, is there Yes, Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused and not subject to a call of the Senate on Monday, February 18th, until morning plain time for state and for personal business.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Bishop.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to be excused from the call of the Senate from 2:15 p.m. plain time to 2:18 a.m. plain time.
On the
state and personal business, 2:18, February 18th.
Okay. Without objection, so orders. Senator Dyson.
And I move and ask unanimous consent to be excused from a call to the Senate on 3:06, 7:15 in the morning to 3:10, 6:55 in the evening, plain times for both for state business.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Geisel.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent to be excused from the call of the Senate from today, Friday, p.m. plain time, to Sunday, February 17th, p.m. plain time for state business.
Without objection, so ordered. Other unfinished business? Seeing none, at this time, I remove the Senate Education Committee referral from Senate Joint Resolution Number 9, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska to state aid for relating to state aid for education. I refer the Senate Joint Resolution Number 9, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to state aid for education, to Senate Finance Committee.
Brief.
Senator Wilikowski?
Yeah, I object.
We have an objection to the referrals. Brief it, please. Act order. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, with the greatest respect, reject to this change in referrals. This is a bill that will have, or a resolution that seeks to change the Constitution on how we deal with education in this state. This has tremendous education implications. We have standing committees that are set up to deal with issues pertaining to their jurisdiction. You can't, this clearly belongs in education, and I would respectfully request that this matter be referred to the Education Committee. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Wilikowski. Senator Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I agree with the previous speaker, but I would also like to add that this is a significant change in public policy for the state, and anybody who's on the cusp of thinking, well, maybe this, maybe it should be education, maybe not, I'd just like to point out that the public is following very carefully, the public is very interested, and the process here that we take is hugely important, critically important, more opportunity for testimony and learning about the issue is of great value to the state, and it should have an education referral.
Yep, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is an education issue if we get it on a ballot for people to talk about. So the first thing it has to have is a judiciary referral, and then the cost of putting that before the people. The education discussion really doesn't happen until that comes up. And it is true that it'll gender that, which is obvious from the debate today. I would just encourage members to uphold the ruling of the chair. I see that as something the majority needs to uphold. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Majority Leader. So at this time, members, the question is, under Senate Joint Resolution Number 9's referrals, shall we uphold change to the referrals of the chair? Members may proceed to vote. So the objection has failed.
11 yeas, 4 nays.
In addition, Senator French? Okay, brief ease. Back to order, and we will void the vote that we just previously took. At this point in time, the question before the body under Senate Joint Resolution Number 9's referral shall the ruling of the chair be upheld. Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Secretary will lock the roll. Do any senators wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. Secretary will tally the vote.
11 yeas, 4 nays.
And so the objection has failed to pass the Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that Senator Olson be excused from the call of the House to the Senate today.
Without objection, so ordered. Additionally, under unfinished business, at this time I'd like to make the following appointments. To the Pacific Northwest Economic Region, I'm appointing Senator McGuire as a delegate and Senator Giesel as an alternate delegate. Minority delegate is Senator Hoffman, and the minority alternate delegate is Senator Gardner. Other unfinished business. Announcements? Under announcements, seeing none, special orders. Yes, Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be given the special privilege of the floor to speak on the subject of Born on the 4th of July.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. President. We passed a citation for her as a special order of business a few minutes ago for Elizabeth Paradovich, but she was born on the 4th of July. She was born in Petersburg. She was a Southeast girl. She was born in 1911. And she wound up being instrumental in the passage of Alaska's anti-discrimination law in 1945, 63 years ago tomorrow. That's why tomorrow is Elizabeth Paradovich Day, is because on that day, the territorial legislature passed an anti-discrimination law 19 years before the United States Congress did so. It was a groundbreaking piece of legislation. She led the charge for that, and it's altogether right and proper that we take a few minutes here today and think about Elizabeth Paradovich. She was born in Petersburg. Her Tlingit name was Kahkalchat. And now that I've said that, I can relax because I've been practicing that this morning with Tlingit speakers. And I think I did it pretty well. But we'll see what the reviews are later this afternoon. Her parents passed away. She was raised in a family whose last name was Wanamaker. She met her husband, who was Paradovich from Kluwak. He was, in fact, the mayor there four times. And she was educated both in Petersburg, of course, in Sitka, and in Ketchikan. But it was when her family moved to Juneau in the early 40s that she began to see around town disturbing signs that led her to begin this effort. Signs like no natives allowed, no natives or dogs allowed on businesses here in the city of Juneau in the early 40s. And in 1943, she and others put together, along working with the governor then, and our senator, our congressional representative, Anthony Diamond, and then Governor Ernest Gruening, put together legislation for introduction in 1943. That legislation did not pass in 1943, didn't pass in 44. It was reintroduced. And in 1945, they were able to put together enough votes to bring that bill to the floor and pass it. But it was in the passage of that bill, during the time that bill was being considered in the House and in the Senate, the territorial bodies, that she really rose to prominence through two somewhat timeless exchanges on the topic with members who were members of the body who were under consideration of the measure. And one of those exchanges happened when she was asked, and before a Senate committee, as a matter of fact, she was asked, will the Equal Rights Bill eliminate discrimination in Alaska? And her answer is really quite insightful. It resonates even today on many other debates we have. She said, have you eliminated larceny or murder by passing a law against it? No law will eliminate crimes, but at least you, as legislators, can assert to the world that you recognize the evil of the present situation and speak your intent to help us overcome discrimination. A very, very insightful response. But it was an even more an unfortunate exchange that really propelled her to prominence. It's stunning to even think that this question was asked, but it was asked on the record. It happened as a matter of fact. It happened in 1945, and a senator of the territorial legislature, said out loud, who are these people, barely out of savagery, who want to associate with us whites, with 5,000 years of recorded civilization behind us? And she replied this way, Mr. President. She replied in what was recorded then as a quiet, steady voice, I would not have expected that I, who am barely out of savagery, would have to remind gentlemen with 5,000 years of recorded civilization behind them of our Bill of Rights. The Senate passed that anti-discrimination bill by a vote of 11-5, and I'd like to go back and find the five who voted against it and ask them why they did so, but it passed 11-5. The anti-discrimination bill became law. It has been law ever since. Elizabeth died a few years later, 1958. She's buried here in Juneau in the Evergreen Cemetery. A gallery in the other body is named in her honor, the only non-legislator to have such an honor. And I think it's wonderful that tomorrow we will celebrate that passage of that anti-discrimination bill. We will celebrate Elizabeth Paradovich Day, and thank you for your time and attention, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator French. Other special orders? Yes, Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent to speak on the 100th year of the Alaska Legislature.
Without objection, so ordered.
And so, Mr. President, I'm pleased today that we continue on our journey in honor of the 100th year of the Alaska Legislature to honor two more districts. In this case today, we're going to honor your district, and the gentleman to my left from the North Pole is going to read your district summary, and then my good friend from Senate District F will speak to his district and educate all of us a little bit more about their part of Alaska.
Thank you, Senator McGuire. Senator Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, move and ask unanimous consent to have the privilege of the floor to speak on Senate District Echo.
Yeah, without objection, so ordered.
So it's my privilege to speak historically on two different locations, one on the behalf of my constituents and one on the behalf of your constituents. So thank you for the privilege, Mr. President. Senate District Echo, located in the Matanuska Borough, Sioux Center Borough, population of about 35,000 people, and contains the city of Wasilla, the community of Meadow Lakes, Big Lake, Kinnick, Fairview, Goose Bay, and Point McKenzie. And Mr. President, if anybody struggles with this, I'm going to have to read portions of this to honor them properly. So I may very well end up reading a little bit of this.
Without objection.
I'll do my best to read and walk and talk at the same time. The region's beauty, and I can attest to this, and the availability of large lot homes at a fraction of the cost of the Anchorage area has attracted a growth that really was a boom and continues even today to shape the area, as we well know, over the past decade. And the Matsu Borough saw its population grow by an average of 5% annually. With that much growth occurring in the area, and we've seen it in the transportation bills and many other areas, many of those newcomers have young children. The group particularly has driven the demand for new housing, municipal services, and so the Matsu Borough School District is now the second largest in the state, with a student enrollment of 17,200 and some students. Excellent. 100 years ago, the region was home to the Athabascan Dena'ina, who called the area Benteth, which means many lakes. The numerous lakes and streams provide ample fishing for them as indigenous population, but certainly it's been invaded by many others at this point. Popular wintering ground for the semi-permanent native villages. Trails connected these villages to hunting grounds in the Susitna Valley and into the Talkeetna Mountains. Excellent, excellent territory. One of those settlements, the town site of Kinnick, served as an important port for the Alaska Gold Rush in the 1890s. The census record of the Kinnick population was 160 people, 96 of which were Alaska Natives. As most mining towns contained mostly single men, it was interesting to note that the census recorded 36 families in Kinnick. In 1908, the U.S. government financed a trail from Seward to the Gold Rush town of Nome. Parts of that trail today, known as the Iditarod Trail, ran through the Kinnick. On December 1 of 1916, an Iditarod musher drove into Kinnick with 3,400 pounds of gold hauled by 46 dogs. Today, the Kinnick Recreation and Sled Dog Land Use District honors the father of the Iditarod, Joe Reddington Sr., who moved to the area in 1948, 2 years before I was born. Protects the area historic dog and mushing activities. Around 1900, the Boston and Klondike Company made the first sled trail north from Kinnick to the mineral-rich Talkeetna area. Through Big Lake. Between the 20s of World War II, a number of homesteads were staked in the Big Lake area. By the 1960s, you had lodges and children's camps were operating there with about 300 private cabins and homes. The lakefront lots became more accessible with the expansion of roads and power, and by the way, probably was one of the reasons why the small airplane industry was so popular here in Alaska, no doubt about it. Low land costs, recreational opportunities, and a semi-rural lifestyle, and a relatively short commute to Anchorage, and even shorter commutes to the growing Matsu employment areas supported the growth. And so the city of Wasilla, historic history dates back to 1916. That was when my grandfather started a business in Nenana. With the Alaska Engineering Commission, constructed a work camp at the intersection of the Alaska Railroad and the Carlisle Wagon Trail, which linked Kinnick and the Willow Creek Mining District. After platting the town site in June of 1917, the commission auctioned off the lots from the Wasilla Railroad platform, which you can stand on today. So Wasilla named for Chief Wasilla, a local Dena'ina chief and shaman who died in 1907, was incorporated in 74 as a second-class city and has continued to develop as a retail commercial hub of the Mat-Su Valley. It became a first-class city in 1984. And today, the city of Wasilla is famous as the official headquarters of the annual Iditarod Trail Race, home to the Iron Dog Snow Machine Race, and home of former city mayor and candidate for U.S. Vice President Sarah Palin. Certainly has brought some attention to that area. In recent years, the Senate District E, Echo, has become home port to Port McKenzie and its mainline rail extension. Port Mac, as it's called, can accommodate Panamax-sized vehicles, enabling the port to import and export as our window to the world. The construction of the rail extension will bring tremendous economic and employment benefits. With a shorter distance to Tidewater from the interior, which we appreciate, the new segment of rail will stimulate the development of our state's natural resources. So, Mr. President, known as Alaska's year-round playground, the Mat-Su Borough and the Senate seat E is a great place to live, work, and play, and I got to represent the area right next to it last go around, and it really was a pleasure. District Echo, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Coghill. Senator Dice.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. It is my privilege to speak about the district I have the honor of representing. Senate District Echo,
Senator Dice, could you just give us a motion, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought the one covered us. See, Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to be allowed to speak on the commemorative Senate district profile that I represent.
Yeah, without objection, so ordered.
Thank you. This district, District F, is a northern part of the municipality of Anchorage and part of the southern part of Mat-Su. It has about almost 36,000 people living there. And going south to north, the communities are Eagle River, Chugiak, Fort Richardson, Birchwood, Aklutna, all located along the Glen Highway. And then the area of the Butte, Lazy Mountain, and what's known locally as the Lands Beyond, plus a section down Connect Goose Bay Road. The area contains a portion of the historic Iditarod Trail, and it runs down Eagle River Valley and comes over the ridges. Most of the settlements along there came at the same time as the building of the railroad, some of the railroad camps. And some of you have driven over the Briggs Bridge. Glenn Briggs was a potato farmer in the area that supplied food for both the military bases. The Dena'ina Athabascan village of Aklutna has been there at least for 800 years that we know. The communities are mostly suburban. Many of the residents commute to Anchorage for work, and parts of the Glen Highway are known as Taillight Hill. There are agricultural communities, some in Eagle River, but largely in the portion around the Butte and Lazy Mountain. They're in Palmer. There's lots of recreation opportunities, certainly Aklutna Lake, Mount Baldy, Eagle River Valley, and the trails there, Thunderbird Falls, also some snow machine recreation areas. Has the highest percentage of military people in the state, 25%, some of them retired, most of them active duty, and virtually all of the Canadian Air Force officers that are here with NORAD live in that district. The Chamber of Commerce has the motto of making the area the most livable portion of the state, and it's my belief that they have succeeded. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Dyson. Are there other special orders? Senator Machicki.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to speak of an individual very important to the history of District O and particularly pertinent to this 100th anniversary discussion.
No, without objection, so ordered.
I'll be congratulating Miss Juanita Burdison on her happy 100th birthday. Ms. Burdison happens to be the auntie of a great Alaskan well known in this building, Lieutenant Governor Mr. Lauren Lehman. Named Valentina when she was born on February 19, 1913. In Nanilchik, she is the oldest of eight children born to Joe and Irene Lehman. Juanita left home at 14 to attend Anchorage High School, live with family and friends, and return home for the summers. After high school, Juanita went to visit her cousin in Ketchikan, where she met her husband. She met Russ Burdison, a fisherman. They married in September of 1934. Their first child, Joan, was born in Ketchikan on Christmas Eve, 1936, and the young family moved to Seldovia, where Russ continued fishing. In the late 40s, they joined Juanita's brother, Joe Lehman, to start a fish processing plant in Inilchik. They called the Berman Packing Company, which was a combination of the Burdison and Lehman names. Shortly after that, Joe went back to his fish trap and left Juanita and Russ with the company. Their second child, Terry, was born in 1951, and Juanita was the bookkeeper for most of the years they operated the plant until they sold the business in 1968. Juanita was widowed in 1970 and lived alone until she was nearly 90 when she entered a care facility. She was active in her church, the Emblem Club, and in a guild at the Norse home. Juanita's brothers Nick and Harry and sisters Marie and Ann are no longer living. Her brother Joe and sisters Rose and Betty are joining her for this special celebration, along with her immediate family and nephews, including Lauren, nieces, cousins, extended family, and friends. Mr. President, I want to thank you and this body for joining me in congratulating Juanita Burdison for 100 years so far of a job very well done.
Thank you, and happy birthday. Other special orders? Seeing none, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that the stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. Tuesday, February 19th.
Yes, and the Senate will stand in adjournment until Tuesday, 11 a.m. 19th.